Well, it was quite a bit over 70 years ago that I felt the Lord speaking to my heart from His Word, and I put my trust in the Saviour and became converted, as the Bible calls it. One thing that's been clear to me over those long years, because of the sort of churches I was a member of, only a couple, was about the preaching of God's Word. And over the years, we've noticed a drift away from preaching God's Word. And all sorts of other things, usually lighter-hearted things, have come in to many places to replace serious teaching and exposition of the Word of God. So that's why this thought from 2 Timothy chapter 4 has come to me this morning. It's a last-minute thought, but it's not. It's based on what I've learned of God's Word over the years, what He's been teaching His church, and I've been a member of His church, absorbing those things. Let's just have a look at this again. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I solemnly charge you, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word. Be ready, in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. So there we have it. Preach the word. The first thing we notice, Timothy is being instructed by the Apostle Paul. As I said before, he is now advancing in years, and he wanted to make sure the next generation were well instructed, well informed, and going on in the way that God would have them go. And what we have to remember, and it came as quite a shock to me when I really realised this way back, when Paul wrote this letter to Timothy, he really only had the Old Testament to base his teachings on. The Gospels had not fully been collected together as an entity. Some of the letters that Paul wrote hadn't even been written, and some of the other people either. So they were being instructed, and whilst they were being instructed, God was giving His word to the church. How did the Bible come? Well, it was through these letters, the Old Testament, of course, the Gospels, the accounts of the disciples and the apostles, and written down and recorded, and then later collected together. Undoubtedly, whoever Timothy was working with, because he was a young pastor, they might have heard, the people in Philippi have had a letter as well, and some of us have read them. Oh, how about that one to Corinth? Wow. But the word of God, serious. I solemnly charge you, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word. How many of us in younger days have been sat down and our ears pull back and say, no, listen to this, this is deadly serious. You've got to understand, you either can't do that or you must do the other. Now this is God saying through the Apostle Paul, I solemnly charge you. This is no joking matter. This is no casual matter. Because God is, and His Christ is the one who will judge the living and the dead. Whatever you do as a Christian, whatever you do in your church, you do it in the sight of God. And He will judge. Because His judgment will be against that which is wrong, but also judgment on that which is right, and His blessing on that which is right. And if it's not enough to say it's from God, in the presence of God I solemnly charge you, but by everything to do with God, His appearing and His kingdom. This is deadly serious. You must not neglect what I'm going to tell you. So we move on to verse 2. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. What does in season mean? Well, every week as we come here, hopefully there's a preacher planned to declare God's word to us. And what we do in our lives, we do it in season. Out of season, what does that mean? When the preacher doesn't turn up. Or other sorts of happenings that are out of the ordinary. Or when people are deliberately against the word of God, you don't back off. You don't cower down. You declare the word. You say, well, this is God's word. And it would help a lot of our preaching today, I suppose, when there's so many things to condemn in our society, if we stood up and say, well, my opinion does not count. The word of God is that which counts. The word of God says this. This is what I stand by. Here I stand on the word of God. So preach the word. Whose word is it? Well, it's God's word. It's the word of Christ to us. It's His message He's left the world, and in particular the church, to live by. This is our rule book, if you like, putting it in modern terms. And we are not at liberty to say, well, oh, that was written 2,000 years ago. I think we can relax that bit or modify that bit. That applied then. We're not going to apply it now. Well, clearly you have to be sensible how you read the Word of God. And there were some things that were more applicable in the day of the New Testament, for instance. But the basic principle is this, that we are to preach the word, God's word. We have to marvel at the work of God in preserving our Bible for us. When you think of the work of gathering together the letters of the New Testament and the Gospel, what a difficult job it was, and was done before God. The Old Testament, by the time of the Lord Jesus, was already collected as a work, a tome of God's word. I understand the order of the books wasn't always the same as we have them in our Bible. But I think I'm told if you go to Germany and read a German Bible, your page numbers won't work because some of the books are in very slightly different order. But the contents God had given to Israel to preserve and to be the basis of the New Testament, because God through the Old Testament was rolling out his Messiah promised from eternal years. Remember that John 1 and verse 1 says that in the beginning was the Word. And who was that Word? Well, it was the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. What's the target of this preaching? Well, it's got to be God's word for the people. And the preacher is just a channel by which that happens. And God wishes and has declared here that by preaching the word, whether in season or out of season, whether convenient or inconvenient, it will have these elements within it, to reprove, to rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. First thing we read as we open the book of Genesis is God declares a rebuke on the world, a reproof for sin, because Adam disobeyed, and thereafter all his children and their children and grandchildren and so on down to us have inherited a sinful nature whereby we disobey God's word and we are outside of his kingdom. The word, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there will be elements of reproof when God's word is opened. There will be rebuke. There will be exhortation. Now, we don't use that word very often in ordinary language. What does it mean to explain? And go through. This is what this verse means. A, B, C, D. And that's what God is saying to you, what God is saying to me. To exhort. So, if we just have light-hearted stories loosely based on scripture, we're not exhorting people in the word of God. How are we to do this? Well, it says with great patience and instruction. Why? Well, the people who are listening, if they're not converted people, are dead in their trespasses and in their sins. And God would have his word explained patiently and in detail and bring instruction to what we are to do and who we are to be. The instruction is that we are to repent of our sins and trust on the Saviour and have faith in him. Now that instruction in human terms can take a lifetime. I remember getting to the end of one of the college years. I said, that's it. But actually it was not. It was just the start of the next 10 years study and research. Patience. But you know, God knows. God is declaring his message through the preacher. The preacher is a channel, a conduit for his word. So the channel has got to disappear and not be noticed. God's word has got to come through. And it's to instruct people. Now, not everybody has all the time in the world to listen to instruction from God's word. The dying thief on the cross next to the Saviour. He had zero time for detailed study and learning, but what he knew, because he was there next to the Saviour and heard his words, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." And is the promise to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." He had enough instruction to know what to do, to abandon his own thoughts, his own way of life, his evil way of life, and turn to the Saviour. Hopefully none of us are in that short span of learning that he was in, but we need to understand God's word. So, Timothy, young man, when you preach, do it with great patience. People may not get it first time. They might get this and have to come back to that and that and that. But whatever, with great patience and instruction. You might say, "Well, when I was at teachers' college, they taught me you had to get it across. That's it." Well, this is God's word, and he is speaking to hearts. And so, great patience and instruction. And the words delivered have got to be God's words. So when are we to do this? Well, either in season or out of season. Is that a bit limiting? Well, no, that covers all the bases, as we say. In season, when it's convenient, when it's comfortable, when it's normal, or out of season, when things have gone, appear to be going wrong, or you've got opposition, you are still to give this preaching of the word with great patience and instructions. How are we to do this? Well, we're to do it knowing that we're but channels, just messengers. And the genuine messenger of the King doesn't promote himself and say, "Yeah, I'm the King, messenger of the King, you know." He says, "This is what the King says." And that's the way we have to declare God's word. And so, it's comforting this morning that God will bless his word even when things go wrong and it's out of season. Why do we do this? How do we do it? We do it in the presence of God. I solemnly charge you, in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, to preach the word. The serious word of God, the gospel, and the instruction for Christian living is the word of God. And it's declared in his presence. And I know some preachers would always say that at the end of whatever they write, or say, "This is delivered in the presence of God." And hopefully that is what happens. And today, every Sunday, we declare his word as if it comes from God. And it does come from God, but in the presence of God. It's a serious message. He's the judge of the living and the dead. Why do we do this? Well, if we go on to verse 3 quickly. But the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. The time will come. There will be a disease come upon the people called itching ears. "Oh, we've heard this gospel before. Do we hear it again?" Yes. Do I have to take the time to laboriously go through the Old Testament and the New Testament to learn God's instructions. And we prefer either our own ideas or somebody else's ideas, but not the ideas of God. What we have to understand is that this Bible is the opinion of God. And any other opinion, whether it be ours or somebody else's, that's not the opinion of God, is not the word of God. And the time will come when people will have this itching ear. They want to be tickled. They want to be go away with a nice airy-fairy feeling, not be confronted with the truth of God's word and the encouragements of God's word. What happens if we have ticklish ears? We want to listen to this and that and the other. Well, we're not enduring sound doctrine. Now, nobody said it's going to be easy or simple to absorb and understand and to realize what God is saying when we get into His Word. But we must appreciate that this is the sound doctrine. Our hymn says that we must stand on this word. If we stand somewhere else, it's just sinking sand. It will get you nowhere. In fact, it will get you to your demise. Time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside to myths. And a danger we must avoid today. But you do the work of an evangelist. Verse 6 says, I am already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Well, Timothy, young man, my grey beard, I've got one now. I've tried by God to be a messenger in his message. And the time has come when I have to pass on, and you've got the task of doing what I used to do. And for me, a reward in heaven. The righteous judge, the one who will judge those who don't preach his word faithfully. The same one will reward those who do preach his word, those who do live by his word, those who are redeemed and converted to him. And he will award me on that day, not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Timothy, you're young now. Preach the word. Be faithful. Let nobody divert you from the truth of God's word. And you too will follow where I'm going. I'm not going there because of any merit in me, says Paul. In fact, he regarded himself as the chief of sinners, but Christ has saved him, cleansed his sins, and made him a child of God. And now he looks to glory. Well, may that be the vision of each one of us here this morning as we turn to our closing hymn. 493. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast, beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. 493.
Thank you.